Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning, City View. How you guys doing? Well, hey. It's nice. I'm going to sit. Are you guys cool if I sit today? Yeah? I just feel like sitting. Who knows how long I'll stay seated. I'm so ADD. Put me in a chair. It's like putting me in a jacket that I can't get out of. But, a big part of the heart of City View is that we desire not people just to feel welcome. Because you can feel welcome at a restaurant. But we want people to feel like they belong. You know, feeling like people belong is like helping people feel like they're part of the family. It's a huge heart of City View. And being part of a family means that you rally around family when family's hurting. You come alongside them. One of our families here at City View is hurting now. They just found out that their brother, their son, has leukemia. Silas, the McCrory family. And, you know, it's just scary. Anytime your kid is sicker than just a cold and it's something that you don't really know what it is, that's always scary. But then when you hear words like leukemia and cancer and things like that, it takes fear, worry, not knowing what's next to a whole nother level. And some of you have experienced that. Some of you have been in it. You're in the middle of it now. Maybe you're coming out of it. You're out of it for a while, but you understand that moment. And this family just found out this week they're in that moment of what's next. How does this happen? And what do we need to do? And that's where they're at. But we as their family, we can rally around them and pray. It can feel so helpless and hopeless, prayer. Like, what in the world is that going to do? But we don't realize that we serve a huge God, and that's how he moves, is through our prayers. He moves when his people, you, pray. And God does things that we cannot even begin to imagine or think when we pray. When we come to him and say, God, we can't, but you can. So that's that moment right now where we say, God, we can't. We don't know what else we can do. I mean, we could bring flowers, we could bring chocolate, we could bring games, but it doesn't bring healing because you're the only one that can do that. So, God, we come to you now and we pray. And so that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to pray. So I ask that you guys be praying for that family because it's a long process. It's not like you give him medicine and he'll be better in a couple weeks. I mean, God could do that. God could, tomorrow, he could wake up and be 100% better. God can do things that we cannot even begin to imagine or think. That's just who he is. But God also sometimes has us go through the process of the medicine and all that kind of stuff that doctors have given. We don't know what God's going to do, but we know that he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Coming to him, we do that through prayer. So let's pray now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you with Lord, all of our questions, worries, and concerns, and ask that you would do the amazing. God, I ask that you'd bring peace to the family and comfort. Lord, that you'd meet them now in their time of need, their time of hurt, their time of fear and worry. God, that you would give the doctor supernatural wisdom as to what to do. Lord, may they do things that they never even thought of because it's only through you that you do the crazy. So, Lord, we ask that you would amaze us. Whether it's through medicine or whether it is through a morning of total healing, Lord. We don't know, God. But, Lord, we trust you and we're walking in our trust with you. So, Lord, we raise Silas up to you. And, Lord, we thank you, God, that he's in your hands and that you are going to do what needs to be done. But, Lord, we do ask that you'd move in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Oh, you guys ever have those moments where you just sort of feel like you're in a funk, like in life? You just wake up. It's a couple of days, and you're sort of like, okay, God, I sort of like, I was telling my wife, I'm sitting there, I'm like, honey, I'm in a funk today. I'm just like in a funk. I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know. I feel like good things are happening. Like, life is pretty good. I just got a message from a mom who brought their special needs daughter to church for the first time today, and she's like, thank you so much for walking me around. Thank you, Janine, for helping me understand what's going on. Thank you, Simone, for loving our daughter so much. It's like, I mean, it's got good things. And then you just sort of feel burdened and because you know some people are going through hell. And it's just like, God, where are you? You know, I am, and it's interesting, I was hoping Jared would finish Romans, I was having him speak, and I was hoping he'd finish the whole book, the rest of the book. I'm going to throw him under the bus right now. He did a great job last weekend, but I was hoping he'd finish so I could start my new series, because I'm really excited about the next series is the book of Ephesians, and I'm just like, I'm excited about that. But because he didn't finish, I'm like, well, I can't leave the last, like, six verses unread, because they are some of the most amazing verses in Romans chapter 8. Like, they make Romans 8, I think, just, it's like the cherry on top. It's like the, yes. Not that the rest of it wasn't, though. I love the whole chapter. And so I'm like, well, I need to speak on it. But it's sort of in that moment. And it talks about that love of God that can't ever end. You know, I love my boys. If you've been here for even a week, you know that I love my boys. I have three amazing boys, Judah, Joel, and Ezra. They're all very different, and I love them with everything, every bit of love that I can have in my heart for my boys, and I love them. And my son, Joel, he's a special little guy. We were at camp last week. And at camp, in the cafeteria, they have these baskets. And they've never had these baskets before. I'm convinced that the baskets were there because they didn't have ice cream this year. And they thought the baskets of hard candy would satisfy my desire for sweets, and that doesn't work. They failed. They usually have soft serve ice cream, but that is, it's unlimited. It's like heaven. It's like heaven's coming down. But they didn't. But they had this basket of mints. And my son Joel found the basket of mints. So my son Joel would go and grab a couple mints. And I was watching him at one of our meals. I think it was dinner. And watching him go back and forth grabbing handfuls of mints at a time. And I said, Joel, you need to stop. And I see him. He's continuing. And all of a sudden, I said, Joel, you cannot have any more mints. But I see him continue to go. And I called him over and I give them that look, the dad look. You know that look that moms and dads give that don't do this ever again? And it's that stare down look. Maybe you don't have kids, but maybe you're a teacher, or maybe you've helped out with kids, or your parents have given you that look. You know that look, that death look, that I'm in trouble look? You know that look that you can give? Well, I gave him the look. I go, and I have like black eyes, so my look can be super scary sometimes. When I was a youth pastor, the students would be like, don't give me that look because you're creepy. It's like I have no soul when you look at my eyes. I gave him that look. You know when you get that look from your parents and all of a sudden you know you're in trouble? And sometimes we can allow that fear of the trouble we're in to think that, do my parents still love me? What have I done? So I called my son Joel over. I'm like, Joel, come here. How many mints do you have in your pocket? Now, remember, I've been watching him grabbing mints by the handfuls. Now, that's okay to do. It's free. I've asked, at what point does grabbing a free mint become stealing? They say, no, it's not, because they're free. So I guess you can grab the whole basket and dump in your backpack. They'll just fill it up again. Joel, how many mints do you have in your pocket? Dad, I only have three. Now, it was at that moment that I realized Joel was a dealer. Because he really only had three. He had been handing them to all the other little kids by the handful, saying, you hold these for me, you hold these for me, you hold these for me. Dad, I only got three and the one in my mouth. That's all I got, Dad. I'm like, you are a sneaky little guy. But the thing is, he thought he was in big trouble, which I just wanted to tell him to stop. But, you know, it's in those moments so many times when we get caught that we feel like all of a sudden we let people down. All of a sudden we feel like, do they still love me? When we get caught. You know, there are those times in our life where we feel like, have I done something to lose God's love? Have I done something to make it to where God doesn't love me as much anymore? But the thing is, God can't stop loving you. It's not possible. And this passage that we will be looking at this morning is all about God's love. All about the never-ending, never-stopping kind of love of God. You know, Paul raises a question. He says, can anything separate us from the love of God? No. Nothing at all. So much of this series, The Art of Living, is we need to live with the understanding that we have a God that loves. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. God, I ask that you'd speak to us and meet us here, Lord, today. God, I thank you that you so love that you love beyond what we could ever imagine or think. So, Lord, I ask that you'd show us your love today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 34. If you don't have a Bible, the passage is going to be up here. You could also look on the YouVersion Bible app if you have a smartphone. There's a Bible app you can download. All the passages for today and every week in Women's Bible Study, those passages will be on there for you too if you want to follow along with Women's Bible Study. Super rad what technology can do today. But Romans 8, verse 34 says this, "Who then will condemn us? No one. For Jesus Christ died for us. And he was raised for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." As I was reading this week, and as I was looking over this passage, it stuck out to me how many times the "for us" is stated. Now, I'm reading out of the New Living, so I don't really remember what the New American or ESV, or there's like 1,000 different translations. But the New Living, it says, "But Christ died for us." He makes it personal for all of us. He says, "And Christ was raised." He wasn't left in the grave, but he was raised from the dead for us. I don't know how many of you know people that have come back from the dead. I don't. I know one, Jesus. And he never died again. He died once, rose from the dead, conquered it, offers forgiveness for all, and says, "I beat death." Who did he beat death for? Not for himself. He says, "For you." He beat death for you. He died for you. And then it says, he is seated at the right hand of God for you. Why? Because like Jared spoke last week, for those of you who were not here, we all sit in this judgment seat. And we have the voice of the accuser, the voice of the judge, and the voice of the jury yelling at us constantly. And we have Jesus standing in the middle saying they are not condemned. But how many of us still hear those voices? How many of us sometimes we still hear those voices haunting us, reminding us of what we've done, reminding us of who we are, reminding us of how short we have come in our ability to live a life that we really hope and wish we could live? How many of us, we hear those voices yelling each and every day, and we know Jesus is there, but you see, the devil so wants to tear us down. He so wants to destroy us. And he uses anything and every possible way to discourage and distract us. But it says in that passage, "Who then will condemn us?" Paul says, "No one." They may be yelling, "You're condemned," but Jesus says, "No, they're not. They're forgiven." They may be yelling, "They're at fault," but Jesus says, "They are forgiven." Paul says, "Who then will condemn us?" No one. And then Paul asks this question because, you know, there's these times that we feel all this guilt, we feel the shame, and the voices are yelling at us, and we want them to stop, but they don't stop. And sometimes they make us think that God has stopped loving us. You ever think that? That, "God, do you really care about me?" That maybe we've done too much that we are now unlovable. And maybe because of the circumstances of the moment, we feel like God has left us. We feel like God doesn't care. And Paul then asks this question. He says, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love?" Have you ever thought that? Maybe not like really. You haven't like sat in your car driving. You're like, "I wonder if anything can ever separate me from God's love." I mean, maybe not that question, but I'm sure if you guys are anything like me, you've thought, "How could God still love me after what I've done?" And maybe it's not even after what you've done, it's after what you thought. Because I don't know about you guys, but man, this brain of mine, it's not always the best, most positive thing. It sometimes can think some things that I wish it just could just erase. There are moments where I'm just like, "God, why? Like, why do I have to, like, yeah, you know, I'm far from perfect. I am." And I read this, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love?" And Paul then says this, "Does it mean he no longer loves us if trouble comes, calamity comes, persecution comes, hunger comes, destitute comes, danger comes, threats of death come. It says, as the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. You know, there are moments where I look and I think, God, why is this happening? This isn't fair. So when bad things happen in my life, does that mean that God loves me any less? No. Does it mean that we have stepped out of his love? You can't do that. You don't have enough power. First off, you don't have enough power to forgive yourself, so you don't have enough power to step out of the love that he has for you. You don't have that ability. I'm sorry. You may think you do, but you cannot stop God from loving you. It's not possible. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you ask him to forgive you of your sins, once he says, you are my child, you cannot stop him from loving you. You can't. So many times we tie that love of God to the love we have. We know our love can be conditional at times. You guys ever have conditional love? You ever have somebody annoy you or hurt you so bad that you're like, I do not love them because they are straight evil. You ever have that? You're like, uh-uh. What about that guy who was going to do some terrible things, that 2 or 3 year old kid that got arrested this week? I read that feed about what people wanted to do to that guy. The guy, it's just terrible. I'm like, man. How could, that guy's so deprived. And then God says, but I can still love him. Which blows my mind. But see, God sees deep down inside each and every one of us, and he sees who we are and what we're like for real. He sees the us that nobody else, one, we don't ever want to see, but he sees the us, the somebody else that we are deep down. And he says, I love you, which makes no sense. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, things may not be able to separate us from the love of God, but things sure can quiet the voice of the love of God, can't they? Have you ever had that where you're like, God, I just don't hear you anymore. I feel like you're quiet. And we've allowed so many things to come in. We've allowed so many other voices and so many distractions and all these voices accusing and telling us. And we feel like all these worries that for some reason God is allowing these things to happen because we did something. My wife just finished this book. We read a book on our way to camp and on our way back from camp. My wife read this book called Ginger Pie. It's about a dog and a family. It's a cute book. I liked it. If you've never read it, you should read it, even if you're an adult. It's a great book. But in the book, there's this 9-year-old little girl named, I don't even know. What was her name? I don't know. Oh, she had a name. And in the book, the dog gets kidnapped. I'm ruining it for you. I won't tell you the rest of the story. In the book, the dog gets kidnapped. And she feels like the whole reason the dog gets kidnapped is because she was mean to somebody else. And she lied to another person. She feels like everything bad is happening because of the actions she did. How many of us have ever thought that about God? God, have I done something to make you do this? And have you ever thought, God, why do you allow these things? Like, I was thinking about Silas and all of that that's going on, and I was thinking, God, why do you allow, why? Why do you got to have that? Do you think God likes cancer and death and people that want to do evil things to little kids and people that murder? Do you think God likes that kind of stuff? Do you think God enjoys that? No, he hates it. He hates it more than you do. He hates it with so much hatred, a hatred that we can't even begin to understand. And we're like, why doesn't God just stop it? The only way for God to stop it is by taking all Christians off earth and to take us to heaven and to send everybody else to hell that doesn't believe in him. That's the only way for God to stop it. The moment that decision is made, the people who are in heaven are in heaven, the people who are in hell are in hell, that decision is done. But if God did that decision right now, how many people would not be in heaven that might make a decision today? You see, it says that God is long-suffering. Does God see these things? The thing is, when sin entered the earth in Genesis, that it brought in all these other bad things that God hates. One day God will restore all things. God hates them. One of the reasons why God doesn't get rid of, just come back and take it, is because he teaches us so much through it. It's so many times it's in those trials, it's in those hardest times that we are given our greatest strengths. It's in those hardest, darkest times that God is seen the brightest. It's in those times that we feel so hopeless that God gives us greater hope for the next day. It's in those times that make no sense that all of a sudden God makes the most sense. It's in those times that seems so unfair that we say, God, where are you? And God says, I'm still right here. We say, God, do you still love me? God, are you there? It's in those times that God is carrying us and he never stops loving us. It makes me think of those times. You ever seen the little kid when they're throwing the biggest fit in the store and they're on the ground and they're kicking their legs and you're, as a parent, you're sweating. Your face is turning red. You just want to grab them and like throw them out of the store. You know that moment? You're like, I am so embarrassed. My kid's not normally like this. They're broken right now. I don't know how to fix them. I don't know what to do. But what do parents so many times, what they do, and some of you are like, you're not parents, you've seen it, and we judge many times. We judge those parents. Like, you need to get your life together, parent. But sometimes that parent knows that that kid cannot express what's going on in their heart. And so you see that parent pick up the kid with a smile on their face, and they hold that kid so tight, and they love them, even though that kid cannot express what's going on inside them. You see, there are times where we are in trouble. We are in distress. We just feel so lost and hopeless. We're angry. We're mad. And God just says, I'm going to hold you, and I'm going to love you. And I know you're mad, and I know you're confused, but it doesn't matter what you do. You're not going to make me stop loving you. I don't care how hard you kick. I don't care how much you yell. I don't care if you cuss at me. I don't care if you hate me. I love you. And Paul says this, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And Paul says this in verse 38, and I ask you, like I asked last service, what are you convinced of today? If I were to say, what's the one thing you're convinced of? Well, I'm convinced that I like the Cardinals. I'm convinced that blah, 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 whatever it is. I'm convinced that LeBron James is a big crybaby. Whatever you like might be convinced of. Paul says this, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor our fears for today, or worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is a passage that I've memorized and I've stored in my heart. Because I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can ever, no, never, ever, ever separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I am convinced of that. The worries of this world may come, but I am convinced that God loves me. The troubles of this world, they will come, but I am convinced that God loves me. The misunderstandings, the hurt, the pain, the shame, the things that this world brings, they will come. But I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things today, nor things tomorrow will ever, no, never, ever be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I am convinced of this one thing.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.